The Bible says where there are two or three gathered in my name, there am I in the midst.
Yes.
Can you see Jesus here? No, I cannot. Well, because I'm using my natural eyes. But the Lord is in the midst of us right now. Do you remember when after Jesus died at the cross, and it was the gloomiest, the darkest time for the disciples' life? You know, there's no crisis in a person's life than the crisis of faith. When your faith is shaken, the things that you believe all your life is being shaken, like the disciples. Remember, these disciples, they were looking forward for the Messiah. The Jewish nation back then was oppressed by the Roman Empire, right? And so, in their knowledge at that time, that Jesus was supposed to deliver them at that time from the rule of the Roman Empire. And now guess what? Their superhero died. Imagine yourself, put yourself in the shoes of the believers, their faith, all their hope in this man, Jesus Christ. They saw it with their eyes. Jesus died and he was buried. And it was the crisis of faith. Have you ever felt like the thing that you believe for was being challenged or being shaken because of what you see in the natural, and the things that you just don't understand at that time? The disciples did not understand why the Messiah had to die, right? They did not know basically what the scripture says, that the Messiah must first suffer and then die, right? And then he rose again. Yes, when Jesus comes back the second time and he's coming back, he's going to be coming back for Israel. He's going to deliver Israel, and the whole world also will be blessed because of the reign of the Son of David. He is the Son of David that has been prophesied in the Bible, that will come and rule here on earth, the hope for humanity. And the Gentiles, the Bible says, will put our trust in him because he's our Savior and Lord, right? But put yourself in his disciples' shoes. They were so sad, you know, during that 3 days, you know, that 3 day period when Jesus was buried. Remember, he was not going to be raised until the third day. So the first day, the second day, the third day seems like ages. Their faith was basically shaken. Their Savior had died. Everything that they had hoped for was dashed to pieces. It was the darkest time of the disciples' life. Like I said again, there's no more crisis than the crisis of your faith. Everything that you have believed for, everything that you had hoped for, was dashed to pieces right there and then because of the fact that Jesus died. It was a fact. He was buried. The disciples saw him. He was buried. It was a fact. Right? But the truth of the Word of God says, on the third day, on the third day, right, Jesus will be raised back to life.
Yes.
Beloved of God, if we know about the third day, if we know about the hope of the resurrection,
yes,
if we know about the victory that is about to explode, that will totally, right, destroy that grave, that tomb. If we only anticipate the light that will shine forth out of the darkness of doom and gloom and depression of life and the death, that the light is going to burst forth that tomb. If we focus on that third day, the day is coming. On that third day, the Messiah is going to be raised back to life, just as the Word says. I don't care what you're going through right now. It's a fact that something died. Perhaps financially. Perhaps something that you had hoped for had died. It's a fact. I'm not denying the fact that there are things in our lives that it seems to be as good as dead. But if we look forward to the third day, if we look forward to that grave being basically busted by the light of His glory, the light of His resurrection, beloved of God, that fact will be a thing of the past, because the truth will always prevail over the temporary facts that may not be working yet in your life right now. Are you encouraged, church? Are you blessed, church? Amen. I just want to let you know, beloved of God, I don't know what is going on in the situation of your life. It might be a fact that something may look so gloom, may look so dark. But beloved of God, the resurrection is coming. Amen. The resurrection is coming. The third day is coming. The third day is coming. The power of the resurrection of Christ, amen, is already in you. And wait for that third day. That third day has to fulfill its course. The Messiah cannot be raised on the first day. The Messiah cannot be raised on the second day. Because the scripture says, He has to be raised on the third day. He had already prophesied His own resurrection. So many times, the disciples could not understand what He was talking about. He said, the Messiah must suffer in the hands of the Gentiles, and they will basically do all kinds of stuff against Him, and then He will die, and on the third day, He'll be raised back to life. The disciple, many times you read in the Bible, they did not understand what He was saying. Hey, when Jesus said that the Son of Man will be raised on the third day, He meant the Son of Man will be raised on the third day. Amen. Literally, spiritually, and physically, it's all going to happen according to the Word of God, and you don't have to have this deep theological thoughts. What does it mean by the third day? What does it mean that He's going to be resurrected back to life? Exactly like what He said. When He said He's going to be raised back to life, exactly like what He said. You don't have to overanalyze it. It is the truth that the Messiah will be physically raised from the dead. Not just spiritually speaking, you know, well, spiritual resurrection. No, it's a physical resurrection. Yes. So when Jesus said, by My stripes, you were healed, you don't have to overanalyze what the Word is saying. What does He mean by healed? Does that mean only my spirit is being healed? No. Whatever areas of your body that needs to be healed, you don't have to overanalyze, you don't have to figure it out. That is exactly what the Word says, and the Word meant exactly what it says. Amen? Because the Messiah was raised bodily on the third day.
Yes.
Amen. So God is interested, right, in your entire spirit, soul, and body to be made whole. God does not just want your spirit to be born again and then your body is sick. Amen. God wants your spirit, soul, and body to be whole, beloved of God. And it may seem like a long night when you are on that first day. Amen. It may feel like, oh, same old again on your second day. But I guarantee you, on the third day,
yes,
something's going to happen. Amen. On the third day, that resurrection power is going to bust out. It's going to destroy whatever things that are blocking your way. On the third day, that light of glory, the light of His resurrection power is going to bust forth that big rock. Remember, there was a big rock in front of Jesus' tomb. That light is going to shine so brightly, beloved of God, that nothing is impossible for God to do. Whatever things that you're going through in your life right now, beloved of God, continue to believe, amen, that your faith is in Him. It may seem like your faith is being shaken when there are things going on in our lives. Sometimes that is loud, very loud. The circumstances, the facts, the situation, the bank accounts, the doctor's report, the wayward child, whatever it is, it's like in your face. Those things are screaming out loud. But God is saying, I'll have the last word.
Yes.
God is saying,
yes,
your third day is coming. Your first day may seem like a long night, and your second day may seem like another long drawn night, but just for a little while longer, the Lord says, your breakthrough will come forth. Yes. Because the third day is coming. That resurrection is coming. Amen. So beloved of God, I just want to encourage you. The Lord loves you. The Lord wants to bless you. And the Lord wants to let you know, amen, that you can rejoice even in your first day. Mm-hmm. You can still have hope. Yes. Even on your second night. Yes. Remember, He is going to be resurrected on the third day. That means the first day and the second night seems to be like a really, really long night. It seems like it seems like ages. But God says, just for a little while longer. It's not going to be like that forever. Amen. Do you remember what Apostle Paul mentioned about our affliction in this life? He said, it's a light and momentary affliction. Our light and momentary affliction is working for us a far greater eternal weight of glory. You know, beloved of God, I just want to, just let you know that God wants you to be happy all the time. God wants you to be joyful even in your first day and your second day. When the third day is not here yet, your breakthrough is not here yet, the resurrection is not here yet. God does not want you to sort of suffer on that first day and second day while you're waiting for the resurrection to happen. And what will keep us, okay, to still be happy and be able to be blessed even while we're waiting on the Lord for the breakthrough that you're waiting for is to always to put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Say with me, the helmet.
The helmet.
Now, why do you think that those motorcyclists is required to wear the helmet, right?
The helmet.
Why do you think that is so? You can't afford something happen maybe to your leg. You know, worst case, you may have to wear crutches for a few days, right? But if this got hurt, you're in big trouble. So, do you know why God says we're supposed to be putting on the helmet at all times? Because that is where the devil,
yes,
can shoot the fiery darts.
Yes.
The devil does not target your feet. Do you know? The devil does not use the arrow to shoot your feet. The devil targets your head. Because your head, your mind, is the arena, is your battlefield. Arena. That is where the battle is going on. The battle for believers today is not, you know, in the heavenly places, let's bombard the heaven, you know, talking to the demons all the time, talking to the devil all the time. Now, there's a place to rebuke the devil. There's a place to bind, okay, the demonic spirits and to loose their assignment, you know, to destroy the works of the devil. But, you know, the Bible says The battle is actually in the mind. Because our weapons, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every knowledge that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is all happening in the mind. The battle is in the mind. That's why God says you got to put on the helmet of salvation. Amen. Now, to be exact, in the book of Ephesians, they both mention the same thing. You got to put on your helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it's mentioned twice, we know God really is emphasizing the importance of the word, right? Like when God says, "Hear ye Israel, hear ye Israel." God does not have to repeat His word twice. When He said it twice, that means He's saying, this is important for you to understand. You got to put on the helmet of salvation. Now, let me tell you, the helmet of salvation is called the helmet of the hope of salvation. There's the word hope there. So, yes, our born-again spirit, the moment you believe in Jesus, is born again, you are already saved. But hope is always future. Nobody hope for something that they've already got. Right? But if you have not received it, then with patience, you wait for it. Nobody hope for something that they've already got. So hope is always future. Now faith is always now. You've already got it. It's mine. Right? Now, the Bible says this helmet is a helmet of hope. That means it's a helmet to let you know that your salvation is coming. Right? It's the helmet that lets you know, right, that this affliction that you might be going through is a light and momentary, because the salvation is coming. When I say salvation, don't think of heaven and hell. Salvation is the Greek word soteria. Say soteria.
Soteria.
Now soteria comes from the word sozo. Say sozo.
Sozo.
Sozo means to make whole, to restore to health, to deliver from danger, to protect you from harm. So whatever things, whatever challenges that you're going through right now, as you have the hope of salvation, that the Lord is going to deliver me from whatever challenge that I'm going through right now, you keep that helmet on. You keep that helmet on. And you know what the Word of God says. Then there is no weapon formed against you that will prosper. So beloved of God, it is so important to have that helmet on, knowing that Jesus is the hope of my salvation. Because Jesus is my salvation. I'm not going to be stuck in this problem forever. I'm not going to be stuck with this condition in my body, whatever condition in your body, forever. The Lord is my salvation. And you got to have hope for that healing of Christ to manifest at any given moment. You got to have hope for the breakthrough in your career, perhaps, in your finance. You got to have hope to believe, Lord, my salvation is coming. I have not seen it yet, but by faith, I've already got it.
Yes.
So, you got to hold on to the title deed. You have not get into the new house yet, but you have the title deed already in your hands. Am I right?
Amen.
Your house is still under construction. So you cannot move into the house yet, because the roof is not ready yet, the flooring is not been taken care of yet. But guess what? You've got to hold on to your title deed.
Yes.
And the Bible says faith is that title deed for what you are hoping for.
Yes.
You are hoping to be able to move into that new house that is still under construction right now. It's not ready yet. Because once the house is ready, once you move into that new house, you stop hoping for it because you already got it.
Yeah.
The manifestation of you possessing that house has already happened. But while you are waiting for that house to be completely built, right? Make sure you hold on to that title deed.
Amen.
Hold on to that faith. Yes, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that house is already mine. I thank you, Lord, that healing is already mine.
Yes.
Father, I thank you that relationship prosperity is already mine. Father, I thank you. Father God, blessings is already mine.
Yes.
Now, but you know, the devil will fight you with facts.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you know that there is a difference between facts and truth?
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, facts is temporary, but the truth is eternal. The Bible put it this way. Our light and momentary affliction is working for us a far greater eternal weight of glory as we look at the things that are invisible. For the things that are visible are temporal, but the things that are invisible are eternal. So what are the eternal things that are invisible? The provisions of God. The Word says, my God will supply all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That is eternal because it is based on the eternal truth of God's own Word, that I am going to provide for all your needs. Amen? I'll provide you for all of your needs according to my glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. And then what does the Bible say about your health? I have sent my word and healed you and deliver you from your destructions. That is in Psalm 107. That is the truth. When you have pain in your body and so forth, that's a fact. It's a fact. We're not denying there's no pain. We're not denying that, you know, I'm, you know, there's lying symptoms in my body knocking at my door or whatever. We're not denying the facts. But the truth of the Word of God says, I have sent my word and I have healed you and I have delivered you from your destruction.
Yes.
And guess what? The truth, right, will overrule the facts.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That is, amen, waiting for the third day to come forth. When the third day comes, the brightness of that truth will destroy all the darkness of the facts that are currently not working in your life, beloved of God. Man, I don't know, man. I preach myself happy. Amen. You're not excited. I'm excited about this. Man, that is such a life-giving word.
Yes.
You know, while I'm waiting, I gotta have the helmet of salvation. To be exact, the helmet of the hope of salvation, you know, on my head. Because that's where the enemy is targeting. The enemy is targeting our head to put thoughts. I don't know how this is going to ever be working, work out. You see, the enemy sometimes may use the word I into your thoughts, making you think that you are the one who is thinking that thought.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a loser. I don't know if I can ever make it for another day. I feel like I don't know if I'm strong enough. You know, wait a minute. What does the truth say?
Yes.
Right? And the Bible says, the Word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword, and it's able to separate, to divide the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's able to separate the joints and the marrows. It's able to separate the soul and the spirit. You know, your spirit part, if it's born again, right, is always in agreement with the Word of God. And the Word, the quickened Word of God, when you hear the preached Word of God, is able to split so that you are able to distinguish, wait a minute, this is from my soulish realm that is still vulnerable, prone to, you know, the enemy putting thoughts in my soulish realm. Well, I'll never be amount to anything. I'll never see a breakthrough, or I don't know if I'm going to ever be making it. Wait a minute. The Word of God just separates that, and you're able to distinguish. No, that is either from my flesh, or it's the enemy shooting fiery darts on my thought. I know what the Word says. I know the truth. The Word of God will help you divide, to discern between the spirit and the soul, and you'll be able to go back. No, it is written, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. It is written, you know, by His stripes, I was healed. It is written, surely blessing, I'll bless you, right? And multiplying, I'll multiply you. I'm blessed. Amen. That's what the Bible says. I'm blessed. Amen. I'm like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and my leaves will always be green. That means my healing will spring forth speedily because my leaves are always green. That means I'm always healthy. Even though there's lying symptoms, that does not mean that I'm the sick. I'm the healthy. And these lying symptoms, they have to go because I know the truth that I am the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law. Remember, Robert, we studied that last week?
Yeah.
We are the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law, from Romans 3, right? We read that, and it was just a powerful, powerful revelation, beloved of God. Now, I want you to say this with me. What you're saying here is a confession of faith that is biblical. It's not like motivational talk, you know, like just to get you pumped up for a moment. Because when you speak the Word of God, you're speaking truth.
Mm-hmm.
And truth is eternal.
Yes.
So say this with me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law.
I am the righteousness of God apart from the law.
It's important to add that part from Romans chapter 3, apart from the law.
Yes.
Because you can say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ on the back of your mind if I do everything right. if I don't mess up, or if I don't lose my temper, or if I don't say anything wrong, if I don't have messed up thoughts. When you add that phrase from Romans chapter 3, I think around verse 21 or so, it says, but now the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law is manifested. Remember, we learned that last Sunday. I saw a revelation. Wow. You know, I've been confessing all these years as I've been taught, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And it's true. It has tremendous benefits in my life. But it is more potent whenever you understand the context of why Apostle Paul says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. It is apart from the law. Turn with me to Romans 3 now. Come on, church. Turn with me to Romans 3. It's one thing to hear someone preach. It's another when it's your own revelation because your Bible says so also. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. I want to show it to you. This is powerful. And I hope you remember this. Write down in your heart because in case this is not available, you know, as a recording that you can listen to, make sure you record it in your heart, because it has been such a great blessing in my life. I saw something that I've never seen before, and it is such a powerful word. Okay, turn with me to Romans 3:21.
But now the righteousness of God apart from the law.
Stop. The righteousness of God, what? Apart from the law, is manifested or revealed, right? Mm-hmm.
Being witnessed by the law and the promise.
Woohoo! This is something that people in the old covenant did not have, church. That's why the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John, right? There's no man born of a woman, Jesus said, that is greater than John. Right? That means even Prophet Elijah, the prophet that is revered by people in the Old Covenant, he's not greater than John the Baptist. But Jesus said, the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Man, you are actually greater or more blessed than John the Baptist, because you are in the kingdom of God in a new covenant today. This is amazing.
Yes.
Do you understand the implication of what Jesus has done? And because you believe in Jesus, you are actually greater than even John the Baptist, mm-hmm. who was greater than all the prophets in the old covenant.
Mm-hmm.
You are more blessed.
Mm-hmm.
You are more blessed.
Yes. Amen.
Than all the people that were born in the old covenant, simply because you believe in Jesus. That's why people will gnash their teeth. They will say, unfair, unfair. We keep the law. We obey the prophets. How can you say he's more blessed than me? Totally unfair. Well, guess what? Jesus made it fair.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you understand how blessed you are, church? And it says, Why are you so blessed? Well, the context says, now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. The reason why you are more blessed than the prophets and many people in the old covenant, do you know why? Because the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed or is manifested. If only we believe the word of God, we will be so blessed, and our family members will be so blessed. If only we believe the full implication of what it means that now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed.
Amen.
Beloved of God, is the righteousness of God apart from the law manifested in your life? Are you the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law?
Yes.
Are you the righteousness of God apart from the law?
Amen.
Let me tell you why we don't really believe this. Let me tell you why I don't really fully believe this is still true in my life. Okay, I'm vulnerable. I'm going to share it with you. I can say amen, 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 But if I don't really believe it, it means nothing, right? I want to let you know. Do you know how I know that I have not fully believed what Romans chapter 3 verse 21 says? There were times that I felt like hopeless. There were times that I felt like I'm not measuring up. That's how I know I have not fully believed that now the righteousness of God apart from the law is manifested in my life, as evidenced by the fact that there were times that I felt hopeless. There was times that I felt like I'm not measuring up. There were times that I felt like, Lord, I felt like condemned. There are times that I felt like, you know, I'm not more than a conqueror in Christ. In other words, I have a lot of room to grow. Because if I really believe this, my life will be so blessed, more blessed than even all the saints in the old covenant. Because again, this is Jesus' own words. The least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. You don't have to be the most powerful in the kingdom. You don't have to be the most powerful man of God in the kingdom of God. Just be the least. Just be the least. You are already more blessed than even John the Baptist. What is the implication if we really, really believe this? Well, there will be no times that you will feel depressed. There will be no moment in your life that you feel like you can't make it. There will be not a single moment that you feel hopeless in your life. Man, that would be, right, the consequence of believing this truth. Don't you agree with me, beloved of God? That is the natural consequence when you believe that you are the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law, is that your healing will spring forth speedily. All the blessings that are reserved in the Bible for the righteous now is your portion, and it's apart from the law. That means it's apart from me trying to deserve it with my own performance.
Yes.
It is apart from my own self-efforts trying to work it out of my own strength, out of my own wits, out of my own sleepless nights, because I need to think. I got a plan. We thought that the more we plan, the more that we think about the problem, somehow we will alleviate the problem. On the contrary, the more we think about the problem, the more we overplan on what am I going to do about this, how am I going to take care of this, right? The bigger the problem will become. Because the thing that you focus on in your mind, remember, your mind is your battlefield. The thing that you focus on will become bigger and bigger and bigger. That's why God says, don't focus on the problem. Don't even worry about tomorrow, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Because when tomorrow comes, my grace will be there for you to take care of things. Do not worry about tomorrow. But what does the Bible say? Let us run this race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Man, I just said a mouthful. Man, I feel like I can do a special dance here. I just saw something that will make my life to no longer be the same from here on out. When there are pains in my body, and by the way, I still experience pain sometimes in my body, but it's getting better. I'm getting bigger and bigger territory, and this is the gospel truth. I used to be bothered almost like the entire day, like, you know, the pain is still knocking here and there. But now it's only in the morning, you know. I'm already making progress, right? But I have not fully possessed the promised land. And now I believe, you know, the truth of the word today is going to set me free. Amen. That I am the righteousness of God apart from the law. And I'm actually more blessed than John the Baptist, even if I were the least in the kingdom, just as the word says.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. Man, I can do a happy dance. Man. And by the way, how do I know? Again, think about what I just said here and then apply it in your own life. How do we know that we are not yet fully having that revelation that I am the righteousness of God apart from the law? It is when I am still feeling condemned in my life, or I'm still feeling like I'm still falling short of the glory of God. There is something that I feel like I'm lacking. I feel like I'm not there yet. I feel like I'm not measuring up. I feel like I'm not more than a conqueror. When I have all those feelings, the negative feelings, then I know I have not fully attained to that revelation, or I'm not aligning my mind with the reality of what the Word of God says. Because your feeling will follow your thought patterns. Let me say it again.
Yes.
Your feeling will follow your thought pattern.
Yes.
So if you don't like what you feel, change your thinking. Change. Exactly, Howard. You got it. You know, change how you think. Right? Mm-hmm. Beloved, are you blessed? Are you blessed?
Yes.
Amen. You change the way that you think. Make sure that you know what the truth says. And the truth is always based on the Word of God. And today, I just showed you from the gospel truth, beloved of God, you're not just the righteousness of God in Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law. Now, when you are the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law, and the Bible says where there is no law, there is no transgression, the law is the only weapon that the enemy has against Christians to make them feel like they are falling short of the standards and the requirements of God for them to be blessed.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The law is good and holy, but the enemy uses the law like a club to become something that it was never meant to be, that is, as a weapon to beat you up.
Yeah.
To make you feel like you are dirty, to make you feel like there are still sins that God is holding against you, to make you feel like God is not well pleased with you, to make you feel like God is frowning against you. Because the enemy is using that law to condemn us. But now, if you are established in this revelation that you are the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law, the enemy does not have a weapon to make you, you know, think that you have transgressed something. Because the Bible says, where there is no law, there is no transgression. Now, you are the righteousness of God apart from the law. You are wholly acceptable simply by faith in Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus. Why should you not be healed? I am the righteousness of God apart from the law, apart from me observing my diets carefully, you know, making sure that I cross every T, I dot every I, make sure that I always exercise every day at least 30 minutes a day. It's apart from the law. It's apart from my performance. Amen. And I am so blessed to know this gospel truth, beloved of God. Just wait for my testimonies. Amen. Hallelujah. Just wait for my testimonies. Because this is such an enlightening gospel truth that I will be blessed as I'm reminded again and again. Right? I am the righteousness of God apart from the law in Christ. Are you ready, church, to say this one more time? I want you to be blessed. Amen. I want you to be blessed.
Yes.
Amen. This is not just for Pastor Henry. This is for you. As you make it into your own revelation, I want you to say this with me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law.
I'm the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law.
It's important that that last phrase from Romans 3:21, you say it. And when the enemy bombards your mind, say it out loud. You can say it in your heart, of course. But if the attack of the enemy on your mind is so strong, you can speak it and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law. When you say apart from the law, the enemy has nothing. The enemy has no weapon to be able to keep on attacking you. Because the enemy uses the law like the base of operation from which all the missiles is launched. So it's one thing to try to defuse all the missiles that's coming in. Oh, shoot this missile, shoot this missile, shoot this missile. But it's another when you attack the base, when you attack the place where the missiles were launched. Now, when you take away the law from the enemy, the enemy no longer has the base of operation to keep on sending the missiles. That's why whenever you say now, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, apart from the law, you are uprooting the problem, because you're not just shooting the missiles, one missile at a time. Every time you say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, now you're saying apart from the law, you are going after the base. You're going after the place where those missiles were launched in the first place.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen.
Apart from what I see, feel, or hear.
Amen. Hallelujah. Those are facts. What you see, hear, taste, smell, or feel. But the truth of the Word of God will always overrules the facts. Amen. It is a fact. It is a fact. I have not seen the full breakthrough of all the pain in my body to be gone. But the truth of the Word of God says, by His stripes, I was healed. That's the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. All the time. God is so good. Man, I preach myself happy. I preach myself happy. Are you blessed or are you happy? Amen. Let's give a clap offering to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Beloved, your life will no longer be the same as you believe and you speak the reality of who you are. This is your new identity now. You are the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law as it is written in Scripture. It's like that's the missing piece of our confession. We're not confessing the full Word of God. You know, that's why we get partial results. But when we say we are the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law, that is when, you know, the whole puzzle begins to fit. We begin to see everything begins to work. It is apart from the law. Amen? Because simply we believe in Jesus by faith. Your breakthrough is in the mouth of God. When you begin to speak the word, the same word that God speaks, when you begin to speak the same thing that the Word of God speaks, you don't allow the circumstances, right, to intimidate you, but you say what the Word of God says. You know what? Christ is in you. So when you speak something, it's as good as Jesus Himself speak, because Christ is in you when you speak it by faith, knowing that you are today the righteousness of God apart from the law in Christ. Amen, beloved of God? Man, this is awesome. This is so awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you are so good all the time, and all the time you are so good. Well, church, are you ready for church? that was just like an appetizer, but that was a really, really good appetizer. I really love it. Say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law.
I'm the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law.
Oh, man. Now, if you keep up that confession, okay, the enemy really has no weapon against you. Because again, the law is the strength of sin. It's through the law is the knowledge of sin. You would not know what being covetous means unless the law had said, do not covet. And where there is no law, there is no transgressions. This is the gospel truth that God has already provided for you, beloved of God. And it's a free gift. And by this faith in Jesus, now you have been justified by faith and you have peace with God. And the Bible says we can stand on this ground of grace, having been justified by the blood of Jesus. Your standing is so perfect apart from the law that God sprinkled the blood of Jesus 7 times on your ground. Did you know in the old covenant, when the high priest entered into the holiest, the holy of holies, only once a year, and the high priest has to bring the blood of bulls, not the blood of lambs. What's the difference between a bull and a lamb? Well, obviously, bull is a bigger animal than the lamb, right? The lamb is maybe only this small. The bull is huge. The bull is big. Now, on Yom Kippur, that's the Day of Atonement, the day of once a year in a Jewish calendar where they're being atoned of their sins, the high priest needs to get into the holiest once every year with the blood of bulls. That means the greater the appreciation that you have of the blood of Jesus, the bigger will be your revelation, and the bigger of that revelation, the bigger blessings in the Bible will manifest in your life. Beloved of God, it's the blood of bulls, not the blood of lambs or goats. It's the blood of bulls. Imagine the blood that is splattered when you kill the bull, right? The blood that is splattered all over is much more than the blood of goats or the blood of lambs. That is a picture in the New Covenant today. The more you are established on the righteousness that you have in Christ apart from the law because of the shed blood of Jesus. In other words, this is not just a head knowledge. This is not something that, well, I've heard brother so-and-so says that before. No, this is something that is becoming your revelation. It is through the blood of Jesus we can have peace today. We are drawn near, the Bible says, by the blood of Jesus. And Jesus has become our peace through that shed blood of Jesus. This blood of bulls shed once a year. But the blood of Jesus is a perpetual blood where Jesus does not have to come back year after year after year to die at the cross. It's the death that happened once and for all. And through that blood, He purchased unto us eternal redemption. Amen, beloved of God. This is the blessings that God wants you to know, that the right standing that you have today has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the high priest would take the blood, dip his hand in the blood, and he would sprinkle the ground 7 times with that blood of bulls in the Holy of Holies. And also sprinkle 1 time on the Ark of the Covenant. Why 1 time? Because Jesus only had to die 1 time. The blood was shed only 1 time. You got born again 1 time. You don't have to be born again and again. The moment you believe, you are saved. You are eternally secure in the blood of Jesus. You sprinkle it 1 time is enough. And then why you take the blood of bulls and sprinkle it on the ground 7 times? Why do it 7 times? 1 time on the ark, 7 times on the ground. The high priest needs to sprinkle the blood 7 times. Remember, 7 is the number of perfection. God perfected His creation in 7 days, right? Everything is beautiful. Everything is done. Everything's perfect in 7 days. The work is finished. It's perfect, you know, in 7. So 7 is a picture of perfection. And when God sprinkled our ground 7 times with the blood of Jesus, He's saying you have a perfect standing with God today. Mm-hmm. Is that beautiful, beloved of God? You know, the ground that you're standing is a holy ground. You have the right standing with God now, apart from the law. And it's because of the blood of the bulls, the blood of Jesus, right? That is sprinkled on your ground 7 times. This is the grace ground that you stand today, apart from the law.
Amen?
Amen? Now, where can you find that, Pastor, that I have a grace ground today? Not the law ground. It's on the basis of grace that I stand on, that has been sprinkled 7 times, and it's just, you know, the foundation where I can have the right standing with God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So that is your grace ground. It says it is this grace in which we stand. So I'm standing on the grace ground. I'm no longer standing on the ground of law. I'm standing on the ground of grace. You just read it right there, right? Romans chapter 5 verse 2. That is your right standing today, is because you have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We are no longer righteous today because of our own performance. We are righteous today apart from the law, because the grace, the ground that we stand on, is the grace ground. That is amazing. It says we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. The picture of a person who have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, you now have the privilege, like the old covenant high priest, to have access into the Holy of Holies, be able to talk to God face to face, like you are talking to a friend. And it says you have access to that fellowship with God by faith, right? Into this grace in which we stand because of what Jesus Christ has done. And it says we have peace with God in verse 1. Now remember, what's the word peace in Hebrew? Shalom, right? So we have shalom, peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, through whom also we have access by faith. Say, I have access by faith.
I have access by faith.
Man, you are blessed. You have access by faith. Remember, the high priest, number one, you have to be a high priest in order to have this access. Number two, you cannot go in every day, only once a year. But now you have access. It says you have access by faith into that Holy of Holies, right?
Yeah.
And we can stand on this grace ground that has been sprinkled 7 times by the blood of Jesus. And look at the result. We can rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What does that mean? That I can rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The word glory is doxa in the Greek. Say doxa.
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 Right?
Doxa.
That's the word glory there in the Greek. Do you know what it means? The definition of doxa in the Greek? It means good opinion. Alright? It says, because of this blood, right? Because of what Jesus has done, and we have faith in Him, right? We can rejoice in hope of the good opinion of God. So you can change the word glory there with good opinion. So when the devil condemn you, make you feel like God does not have a good opinion of you, or you don't have enough faith, you have too much unbelief, or you are slacking off, or you have not done this, you have not done that. You know what? Remind yourself of the fact that through the blood of Jesus, you are standing on the grace ground today that has been sprinkled 7 times. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ, apart from the law. The basis is no longer on the ground of the law. God has a good opinion of you. If you just have a small mustard size of faith in Jesus, on the basis of grace, not on the basis of the law, it says we can rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We can rejoice in hope of the good opinion of God in your life. Your Heavenly Father is proud of you.
Amen.
Did you hear me? You are receiving the glory of God. He has a good opinion of you. Amen. I want to let you know, your Heavenly Daddy is proud of you. I want to let you know, your Heavenly Daddy has a good opinion of you. What if I have doubts? What if I have fear? What if I have unbelief. Again, remember, under law, fear exists. You see so many times in the Old Covenant, remember when God was giving the Ten Commandments? They heard voices that they said, stop, I don't want to hear the voices anymore. Why? Even Moses said, even I am trembling in fear. Even Moses trembling in fear. Under law, under the Old Covenant, there is fear. There is doubt. There is unbelief. Under grace, amen, there is love, there is joy, there is peace. So what God is telling us today here, beloved of God, you can rejoice in my glory of you. You can rejoice in my good opinion of you. Those fear and those doubts, those unbelief, they cannot disqualify you from receiving the blessings and the glory of God in your life, because you are now today righteous apart from the law.
Yes.
Are you blessed, church? Now, I don't recommend people to have fear and unbelief and doubts, because, you know, there is torment in fear, the Bible says, right? So the best thing is not to have fear at all. But don't think that God no longer have a good opinion of you the moment you have fear. In the New Covenant, the moment you have fear, God says, fear not. I still have a good opinion of you because I see you righteous today apart from the law. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
Keep on reading, Harvard, verse 3.
And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
Oh, this can be, I can preach another 5 hours. But beloved of God, look at what the Word of God says. Okay, verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Again, what is the word glory in Greek?
Good opinion.
Good opinion. Is the Greek word doxa, right? Doxa, okay? So, I can say, not only that, but we also have a good opinion in tribulations. Wow. Apostle Paul is radical here. He says, I can glory even in the midst of my tribulation. I can always have a good opinion of my God. Mm-hmm. Even when things are not working right at this time. Even when everything is not working right at this time of my life, it says we can still glory in tribulations. That means you can still give glory to God. You can still have a good opinion of your loving Heavenly Father, even in the middle of tribulation, knowing that He will never leave you nor forsake you, knowing that your Father will make sure, right, even that tribulation will produce or work out patience. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
You know, I'm just going to kind of put it in practical terms. Why is patience or perseverance is something that will make you a winner, that will make you a real champion? It's like a difference of a person who receives healing, for example, instantaneously. But if the person is not grounded in the Word, okay, and say the lying symptoms knock on the door again, right? The person may not able to hold on to what God has already given them because they're not established in the Word that builds patience in their lives. Do you know what I'm saying? There's a difference between something that you plant that bears fruit in a matter of weeks and a tree that you plant that has a deep root because it's been so deeply rooted for years. Which one is easier to move? A plant that you plant that blossoms in a matter of weeks, or like an oak tree that you have planted for years? Which one is more stable, you think, when the storm comes? Right? So this is what the Bible is saying. So do not despise some of the challenges that you're going through. If you have the right attitude, If you have the right perspective, that you can have a good opinion of your Heavenly Father, even in the midst of your tribulation, God can work it out so that that tribulation, and this is the Word of God, will produce perseverance in your life or patience. And what is the result of that patience? It says experience or character. Did you see that? So it's not hope yet, right? It's after perseverance or patience, it will eventually morph itself into a next stage where now you become a character person. A person with a character. That means a person with experience. And then finally, what is the final stage after the character and experience?
Hope.
And hope that will not put us ashamed. Now, beloved of God, this hope is not man's hope. 50-50 chance, right? Maybe it will happen, maybe it will not happen. That is man's kind of hope. Now, that is not the hope here that it's talking about. This is the hope that will not put you to shame. This is the hope that will not disappoint you. It's a confident expectation of good. Lord, this pain will completely be gone out of my life. It's just a matter of time. I will be totally healed.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Like if you're driving from here to Florida to go to the Disney World, every hour that you spend in your car, you are closer to your final destination. Am I right? You're not driving aimlessly. You're driving your car with a target. I'm going to the Disney World. I have a destination. That is the kind of hope. It's the confident expectation.
Yes.
The time that I spent with the Lord is not a wasted time. My waiting time in the Lord is not a wasted time. I'm closer to my destination, and the Bible says this hope, it will not disappoint you. Amen?
Amen,
beloved of God. But it starts by knowing who you are in Christ. You have the right standing with God. You are on a grace ground apart from the law. Once you know that, you can rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Once you know that you are righteous apart from the law, you stand on grace ground, you have a perfect standing with God apart from the law by the blood of Jesus, it says you can rejoice in hope of the good opinion of God.
Amen.
And once you can rejoice in hope of the good opinion of God, whatever tribulation that comes your way, it says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. That is amazing.
Yes.
That is amazing. But it all starts with the ground of grace.
Amen.
If your ground of grace is shaken and you receive the condemnation of the enemy, everything will fall apart. Because the house is only as strong as its foundation. Say it with me one more time. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law.
I'm the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law.
Remember the foundation. Because it's from this foundation on the grace ground that you can have the hope of the good opinion of God in spite of your mistakes, in spite of your sin, in spite of your shortcomings. And then when tribulations come, you're not afraid of the tribulations anymore. He said, you can also, it says, glory in tribulations. You can have a good opinion of God. No, Lord, this tribulation is not because you're punishing me. Oh, Lord, this tribulation is not because of my sin that has not been taken care of. I'm going to glory in the tribulation because, Lord, I know it's going to work out patience. And patience is going to produce character or experience in me. And it will produce God's kind of hope, Elpis, where it will not disappoint me because your love has been shed abroad into my heart by the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
And every day, you're closer to the Disney World. I'm using this illustration. Every day, you are closer, right, to your promised land. Every day, you are closer to your blessing, the manifestation of your blessing. And it will not put you to shame. It's God's promise. It says, you will not be put to shame. Oh man, I thought that all this problem in my body is supposed to go away. Oh, I guess it didn't happen. No, it will It will not disappoint you. It will not put you to shame. You will receive the perfect manifestation of your healing as you don't give up and you continue to be established in this perfect ground of grace that has been sprinkled 7 times by the blood of Jesus that allows you to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law. Yes, I have not seen the final breakthrough. Yes, I have not seen the full manifestation of my healing. Yes, I have not seen the full manifestation of my financial blessings, but Lord, I hold fast to the ground of grace that I am still the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law, and you continue to have the hope of the glory of God. That means God sees you righteous. God has a good opinion of you simply on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ. And the tribulations in your life, you can still glory even in that, knowing that it will work out patience, and patience will produce character in you, and character in you will produce hope, alpis, confident expectation of good that will not disappoint you, that will not put you to shame, because the love of God has been shed abroad into your heart by the Holy Spirit that He has given you. Amen and amen. I don't know how I can say it any better than that. Amen. I'm pretty fired up because I see the truth of the Word of God here that will give us the guaranteed victory because He has done it. Jesus has finished the work. Amen. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And you know, did you know that faith comes by hearing? Hearing by the Word of Christ? So, as you are listening to the Word of God right now, amen, the Holy Spirit has the ingredients on your Monday, on your Tuesday, on your Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Those are the days when it counts, right? When the rubber meets the road. Because you come to church today and you hear the Word of God, the Holy Spirit has the ingredients, amen, to produce the good harvest of the fruit of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy. So, beloved of God, when you are in the midst of tribulation, what do you do? According to the Word of God, make sure you stand on the ground of grace. Yes. I am the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law. That is so important. That's the foundation from which everything else will build upon that. You can have the hope of the glory of God. And you can even glory in your tribulations. Your tribulations will not cause you to be dismayed. Oh Lord, another tribulation. Oh Lord, how can I handle this? Oh Lord, I can't take it anymore. No, the tribulations will cause you to glory. Because you know that it will work out patience. And patience will work out experience or character. And experience or character will work out hope in your life. Amen. You have a bright future. You can have a bright hope. You can know that whatever tribulation that you're going through is light and momentary. It's not going to be like that forever. Your future is bright. You got to have that hope. But it starts with the foundation of knowing, I am the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law. Say it one more time, beloved of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ apart from the law. Make sure you remember that second phrase, apart from the law. It will make your confessions to be more potent because it's scripture. I just showed you from the scripture, Romans 3 verse 21.